It is amazing how many freaking money lessons a person can learn during a really long debt freedom journey like mine. You may have noticed that this has been on my mind throughout the summer, all these different lessons. And the reason is because, quite honestly, I'm at the tail end of getting this unsecured debt paid off, but also just all the stuff that's going on in the economy. So I've got money on the brain more than I normally do. So I'm reflecting on what it was like in the last couple of recessions that I experienced personally. And honestly, I'm really concerned about the individuals and families being hit hard at this time. That said, I have some financial lessons that I would like to share that span whatever financial season that you might find yourself in. If you are looking to pay off debt, earn more, create a first-time savings, don't forget to grab the free resource, How to Achieve Your First Financial Goal. It will be in the show notes as well. Lesson number one, free is valuable and the base of almost every business model. It's kind of interesting. A week ago, a friend of mine brought up, who's an entrepreneur, so we're all in this entrepreneur group, and this friend brought up a question about why are people so down on free? And the context was within the notion of influencers or people doing free things in order to grow their brands, such as offering to speak for free at a event or offering free services for something. And he made the point that a lot of the free that he's done has paid with actual cash money. Like at the end of the road, he was able to connect with money. And I thought it was really interesting because I agree. Like all of the work that I've done blogging, I've paid money to blog. This wasn't free. It is not free for me to blog. I pay money every month to run these websites that I have. But also, I've just done a lot of free things. And because of the free stuff, I've gotten paid. But when you think about it, grocery stores and food brands have samples. You go to Costco, they're throwing samples at you. You go to farmer's market, there's samples. You go online and maybe there's a free resource that you can download from a website. So there's a lot of free out there and it's the basis, quite honestly, of most businesses. So I don't know why people are so down with free. I think as entrepreneurs, you just have to figure out the balance. As consumers of these goods and services, you have to figure out when you need to purchase. So the flip side of this is I used to use free for a lot of things, but then there was just a point where I'm like, I need to save my time because my time is limited. And so I'm willing to pay cash money to get me from A to Z. So that is, I think, the other part of the flip side of that conversation. Earn more money. Seriously, why don't we talk about this enough? Like, why don't we talk about this more in the personal finance space? It's really interesting because there's all these articles about being frugal. There's all these articles about deprivation. There's all these articles about investing, but we don't necessarily talk about earning more within our careers. We go to work every day or we take action that makes money daily. So it makes no sense that we don't spend more time being deliberate about growing our income. You have to grow your money. I'm not just talking side hustles. I'm actually talking about your primary wage. You have to grow it. And it's something that I think many people just never really consider because they kind of are in the motions. I never did. Intuitively, I was like, yeah, when I go to my next job, I should make more. But I wasn't as deliberate as I am now. Take the trip during debt repayment. Just pay cash and reimagine how your trip will look. There are a lot of people right now who are sitting at home pissed off that they didn't take the trip. Because no one will even let us go to their country. Except for, actually, I live in Colorado and I can go to Costa Rica because our mask mandate worked. So for those of you who may not realize this yet, the United States actually is banned from basically the entire world. Travelers from the United States, I am not making this up. You can check it out. We're banned. And one of the things that's really interesting is something that I'm looking at, but I think is going to start happening more and more, is state-based travel. And for those of us who are from states who've done a good job, we get rewarded and we get to go abroad. So I know that starting the 15th of September, people who can prove residency in Colorado as well as 7 other states can go to Costa Rica. And I can guarantee that other countries will follow suit. Now, why do I even bring this up? Because when you're in a long-term debt repayment journey, you need to take the vacation. It does not mean that you pay credit because that's stupid and you're trying to pay off debt. It means you side hustle, you put some cash aside, you reimagine how your trip is going to be, and you take that trip so you can replenish your energy, be re-energized, and be excited about continuing on your goal. I have paid off a lot of freaking money. I am very tired. I can't pretend that I'm not tired, but I cannot imagine what it would be like if I hadn't taken the trip or a trip for 8 years. Did I go overseas? Yeah, I did actually in the beginning, and then I stopped. But I still did things like I went to conferences, but instead of paying for the conference, maybe I applied to speak at the conference and the expense was exponentially less. Or maybe I volunteered at the event and so the price was exponentially less. Maybe I went on a short trip and I stayed at a hostel. You guys know I go to that beautiful hostel in Breckenridge. There's a new hostel that I'm going to check out next to Vail, Colorado. It's like 8 miles away from Vail. I'm going to check it out. So I just reimagined how to do the same thing for less. So take the freaking trip. Ugh. Know how to generate income outside of your 9-to-5. This is such a priceless skill. Believe me when I say that as I sat in my home for the first 3 months of COVID under a stay-at-home order. We could not leave our house. I was so grateful that I had spent so many freaking years trying to figure out how to make money online. Like I'd spent a lot of time trying to figure it out and trying to figure out what the mix was for me and what really lit me up. And now I make a livable income selling what I know online through a mix of different revenue streams. And right now, all I'm doing is learning how to grow that income. But the thing that I love about this is now that I've learned the skill, no one can take that knowledge away from me. I will always know how to do this, and that is priceless. Financial desperation repels people and opportunities. This one's painful because this one I have been desperate. Oh, it's painful. People know when you're having a hard time with money, even if they don't know, even if you haven't said something, it might be rolling off of you in a certain kind of way. And it might put people off. It could be your dealings with people. It could be that you're late to pay on stuff. It could be that you are unable to participate in different events that other people are doing. And they're like, hey, you want to go? And you're like, I can't go. I can't go. So there's no judgment on this. I have been that person for so many years and so long, and it's hard. But I'm gonna be honest, like people know when you're a hot mess, even if they don't quite know. So it's just something to be aware of. Everybody should clean toilets at least once in their life as part of a job. You know why? Because it teaches humility. And once you've cleaned toilets, you can work anywhere. Quite honestly, I used to clean toilets at several of the different retail jobs that I did, including when I worked at Starbucks. Those Starbucks toilets can get gross, by the way, because so many people are coming through. And once you've cleaned toilets, or once you've cleaned a college house, I've done that too. I've cleaned houses for side hustle money. That's some of the nastiest. I can't even understand how college students live like that. I was a college student, and I'll never forget one summer I was living in my boyfriend's fraternity. We were not in the same room. Like he was away for the summer. Anyway, and I was living in his fraternity, and myself and my roommate had the cleanest room in the entire house. And the house was so filthy that, because it was just me and her and then all these dudes. So for some reason, we were the only girls in the house. And the guys were just filthy. Like, I can't even just think about it. I'm like, ugh. And one day we went outside of the room and we're walking down the stairs, and there were freaking maggots because they had let the trash kind of roll down the stairs. And I was like, you know, oh God, it was so gross. Our room was nice though, but it was gross. And I feel like we had our own bathroom. I feel like that was the case. But anyway, my point is, until you've cleaned after other people, there's a level of humility you haven't experienced yet, and empathy for other people who have to do jobs like that. I have great respect for people who do jobs that other people deem beneath them, if you will. I will never feel like something is beneath me. And that really changes, quite honestly, how I think about other people, what they do, and that kind of thing. It's hard to break financial habits, but you can. You can break your financial habits. It might take for freaking ever, but you can do it. So don't believe that you can't break an overspending habit or that it's impossible for you to change your ability to save. Like maybe you haven't been able to really save. You can save. It just might take you a while to really build that habit, and just keep working at it. Apply for the scholarship, because honestly, not enough people do. And you should apply even if it's the last day to do it. So the reason why I say this is I've been awarded so many scholarships. It's unbelievable to me how many scholarships through my entire life that I've been awarded. And in fact, I'm applying for another scholarship this week for a course. And apply. There's nothing, I mean, basically they'll say yes or no. So apply. Stop paying so much for your cell phone. What is the deal with this? So I actually belong to a lot of Facebook groups in the personal finance space. And I am shocked by how many people who are single who post and say, hey, I'm paying $1,700 for my cell phone for a year. Who the hell are you talking to? You know, the only person I talk to on my phone, the only two people, my mom and my grandma. Everybody else wants to do a Zoom or WhatsApp or FaceTime. Like no one wants to use. I literally do not communicate with my actual friends using my cell phone anymore. And that's been a trend for a while. In fact, when I broke my phone last year, when I froze it to the hot tub, that's a funny story. Anyway, last year I froze my phone to a hot tub and I tried to get it replaced, but I was using a phone service where everything had to be digital. So you had to do a chat and then you had to like try to do all these things. It was Google Fi. It was a disaster. Anywho, for a month, I would just make calls from my laptop. I even got messages on my laptop. So if you are, it makes no sense. If you are paying $1,700 for your damn phone, what? Why are you doing that? And by the way, those calls I was making for that month while I was trying to get my phone replaced, those were free through my laptop. So there's no reason to be paying this much for your phone. That's part of the reason, in my view, why Apple did so badly when they hit that $1,000 mark with their phone, because people were like, we might as well just buy a laptop. So please rethink your phone service. I pay $400 a year. Currently, I use Mint Mobile. Great. Ryan Gosling sends us messages, audio, not text, and which is awesome because he owns it. He's a really good businessman. It's very interesting to watch what he does. And honestly, the difference between $400 and $1,700 is that $1,700 is a trip to Europe for me. That's at least 2 weeks in Europe, including my airplane ticket. So no, you should not. I mean, if you really want to pay $1,700, okay, fine. But it's not just your car that's making you broke. So rethink your phone service. And by the way, I've used Cricket. I've used Mint Mobile, Republic Wireless. Those three I can recommend. They all worked really well. Google Fi, I can't recommend, especially if you're in Denver. It does not work well in Denver at all. And so that's something to be aware of. You should always be learning about money. Learn about investing, taxes, habits, mindset. So there's a reason why it's important to read about money. I will be honest, I fell out of the habit a little bit, and I think that's not good. So I'm getting back into the habit of reading about money because it's an ongoing process of educating myself and learning new things, new ideas, new tools. So always be learning about money. This one's a hard one. I'm going to be interested to see what people have to say about this one, but your savings goal is probably too low. A lot of personal finance influencers that I've been following this summer and just kind of watching them tweet, they actually, we've all kind of been talking about this within the context of COVID. And right now it's September as I share this episode. We're 7 months into a freaking pandemic. And honestly, for US-based listeners, it does not look like we're going to get in front of this anytime soon. This is not. We're about to hit 200,000 deaths, I'd say, with sometime this week when this episode releases, and we're over 6 million people infected. So quite honestly, in the US, we're going to be dealing with this for a while. And a lot of people, in terms of the economic impact, I know people whose industry, their entire industry is decimated and will not come back in the way that it was for years. For years. If you work in New York, the tourism sector, Broadway, education actually is an interesting one to watch, especially given all of the behind the scenes changes on visa protocols, because that's the field I used to work in. And so a lot of students will have a hard time coming here. And quite frankly, a lot of them will, international students will opt not to come here because we do not have our shit together. And so they will go to Canada. They will go to Australia for years to come. We've lost international students and their spending and their brains for years because of what's going on. And just to quantify that, it's a lot of money. So that being said, in terms of just having emergency funds, for me, I now believe that everyone should have the goal, work towards the goal of 1 year of savings set aside. You can decide if it's bare expenses, bare minimum expenses for the year, or a year's worth of expenses plus fun. You can decide what that looks like for you. But for me, I'm like, you know, well, it's going to be a year. And quite honestly, where are we going to go? I can go to Costa Rica. You can't, unless you're from New York and the other states. But my point is, yes, I'm rubbing it in because I have to wear that stupid mask. At least I get something out of it. Anywho, my point is this. We have the time right now to save the money. If we are gainfully employed and we have that opportunity, don't get distracted. Save your money. Build up that emergency fund. Work more if you can, because this should be a wake-up call. Excuse me. Find community. You just can't do whatever you're trying to do financially on your own. You need cheerleaders and inspiration and people to listen to. Listen to you when you're having a down day, and other people that you can encourage as well, because you might be a step ahead of other people on the same journey. So you have to find community. Quality always matters. You just have to define what that quality is. So for me, I like good food. I do not like eating crappy food. Ew, I don't. It's gross. Why? I am one of those live to eat kind of people. So if you're one of those just eat to live, then this is not for you. But I'm a live to eat kind of gal, and I'm not eating bad food. I'm just not doing it. So there are certain things that I really value, and the quality is important to me. good coffee too. As you know, I love to go out for coffee. I like really good quality coffee and I'm willing to pay for it. But I also don't own a car because that's not a value set that I have. I value having access to transportation, but I don't need to be paying for a car and the expenses. And honestly, where am I going to go right now? Where am I going to go? I'm not going on a road trip. So, you know, unless it's in the state. So there you are. Use the app, people. It's 2020. It's 2020. And I don't care if you are a boomer, a Gen Xer, millennial, Gen Z. I don't care. Use the app. If the app is well vetted and proven to be a good app, use it for saving. Use it for small amounts of investing. Use the app. Automate your finances. Don't rely on sheer willpower to grow your savings, invest, whatever. Automate whenever and wherever you can with your finances. Make it easier on yourself. Switch to annual whenever possible. And I mean annual billing. I'm in the process of slowly working through my expenses to see which services can be switched to annual billing. Interestingly, Netflix is not one of them. So side note, it isn't. The more complicated your debt situation is, the more it will affect your ability to grow your money. And I say this as a person who's had a really complicated debt situation versus now, where it's much more just straightforward. And it just, if you have a number of debts, some are in arrears, some are current, some are certain APR, some are this, some are that, it's going to be really hard for you to focus on income growth until you get that other situation kind of smoothed out. It is not lost on me that my income has been growing just steadily because I can focus and I don't have all these things going on. Like, it's just easier to focus. So that's just something to think about. The more complicated your debt is, it's just going to affect money growth. Renting or owning can help you with your finances. The choice on which one you'll do just depends on where you're currently at. It's interesting talking to people about this because I feel like, yes, owning a property is definitely part of the way that many people can create wealth in their life, but it's also 2020. And these homes that people are purchasing are expensive. So Denver just hit an all-time record for average home price. It's $600,000. That's a lot of money. And maybe this is not the right time to buy a $600,000 house. Part of that was supply and demand. There was very little supply and high demand. But my point is, I live near a set of townhomes that just were completed, and those started at $700,000. You don't need to be buying a $700,000 home right now if you don't want to. If you want to rent so that you can just jump ship and go and like do other things, do it. I get tired of people telling people that they have to own property. It's ideal, it's nice, it can really be a great way to create wealth, but it's not for everyone. Not everyone lives in a place that appreciates in terms of their property values. And so stop trying to make people do what's right for you. They're going to do what's right for them. Rethink your cars, people, please rethink your cars, especially right now. Right now is a huge opportunity to at least get rid of one of your damn cars. If you got four cars up in your house and there's two of you, why? What are you doing with four cars? If you're in a city, maybe you drop down to three and you get a car share. Okay. If you're a parent, you have to have a car, but maybe you don't need five cars. I don't know, but there's an opportunity to save money. And if you live in a town that has easy access to a car share where it's easy for you to get to it, that is a great way to save money on insurance, gas, upkeep, that kind of thing. So I use a car share. I'm obsessed with it. I love it. You know how much I pay a month to be a part of my car share? $13. $13. That's what I pay. And then when I use the car, I pay for however much it costs to use the car plus gas. And right now, actually, they're running a lot of special deals because of COVID. So I could rent a car and go on a car trip for $250 for the week for 7 days. And I think the first 100 miles are part of that rental in terms of gas. That's a great deal. So this year, I'm going to pay about $800 on transportation. And that includes 3 different road trips because I'm going on a couple of road trips this fall. So rethink your cars. I'm not saying kick them to the curb. I'm just saying rethink how your cars work for you. And finally, always be earning money. This is somewhat nuanced from the earlier comment where I talked about earn more money via your wage. Basically, I want you to diversify your income and always have income coming in. It could be selling products. It could be investing. It could be Airbnb rentals, wrapping your car, you know, with like some kind of marketing stuff, writing books, coach, tutor, teaching, sell courses, make affiliate incomes, flip furniture, sponsor deals for your podcast, whatever it is that you do, always have money coming in outside of your 9 to 5. So those are my money lessons, thoughts. That is for today. I hope you're having a beautiful day. I am actually preparing for snow. It is 97 degrees as I record this episode. And in 2 days, it's supposed to snow because Colorado. I'm actually very excited about this because this has been a horrendously hot year. And I think it's on it's probably going to be the hottest year on record or tied with the hottest year on record. So we're really over it in terms of just the amount of fires and ash in the air and smoke. And it's just been awful. So anyway, I hope you're having a beautiful day. Are there money lessons that you think I should have shared? Let me know. Take care. Bye-bye.